John 10, verses 1 to 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Shepherd, and as we continue to look at the 23rd Psalm, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. And you know, I think to a degree we all understand that, but I wonder if we really understand how fortunate we are that you are our Shepherd. So as we have gathered together today, it feels like definitely a fall day. We thank you and we pray that your Spirit would truly minister to each and every heart, and that your Spirit would lift up our Lord Jesus as we've gathered together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now here's your chance. There's Mariah, there's my son-in-law Doug, and my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and all these in-laws. And over here are the outlaws.
I knew I could count on it.
looking at the 23rd Psalm, and I was going to tell you where we're going next afterwards, but I may change my mind, so I'll wait. Here's what's up there. So there you go. As we think about the Lord as our shepherd, we realize we're the sheep, and we need a shepherd. So here's an old song about our need of a shepherd, and then we're going to do a new song about our shepherd. So it goes like this. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world of woe. But there's nothing I'm Because we realize we are all like sheep and we have all gone astray and we've turned everyone to our own way. You said that through the prophet Isaiah. And so we realize everybody needs a shepherd. The question is, who is your shepherd? And as we have come, Lord, to hear your voice speak to us through your word, realizing faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, it's somewhere in our life. Maybe right now you're speaking to us and we realize, ah, you know, there is a God. There is a reason. There is purpose. There is a plan. And there's love because for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he sent his Son to become a man. In essence, to become like us, the sheep, even though he is the shepherd. And so, Lord, it's a staggering thought. I mean, it really is. I hope that we think about that. I hope that your spirit would just cause that to roll around in our hearts and our minds because it's a blessed thought. But we are thankful that you are our shepherd. And we're thankful that as we walk down our road of life, we know there's going to be hard times, there's going to be bad times, there's going to be good times, there's going to be pleasant times, there's going to be peaceful times, and there's going to be tough times. But you're there with us. You said you'd never leave nor forsake us. And we thank you for that blessed, blessed assurance. And, you know, here we have gathered, and I know, you know, some people have traveled a ways, and it's a holiday weekend, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so I know that we come, and, you know, we can get all riled up, and it's early on a Sunday morning. So, Lord, just help us calm down and listen to you. Listen to you. And so let's just take a few quiet moments of silent prayer and just calm yourself and say, Lord, help me cease striving and know that you are God and speak to me today. Spend just a quiet moment. Yes, Lord, I thank you for all the many ways you speak through us. Romans 1, you speak to us through creation. You showed us your invisible attributes and divine power. You speak to us through music. You speak to us through your word. You speak to us through one another and the encouragement of being with fellow believers. It's just amazing. So you speak in so many ways. And we pray that your spirit would accomplish today a life, whatever you want each life. Because we realize, I hope you realize, none of us are here by accident. This is a divine appointment. You knew this day from before the foundation of the world. You have gathered us together for a purpose. And I pray that you would accomplish that purpose. And Lord, we come as needy sheep. Well, first of all, we come as thankful sheep. We come as sheep that are saying, I am so happy you are my shepherd. Because, you know, for years, I tried to do it myself, and it didn't work too well. And so now, since I've turned this over to you and I'm following you, my goodness, Lord, I am so thankful that you're my shepherd. Spend a few quiet moments thanking God for the fact that he is your shepherd and what he has done, is doing, and what he will do in your life. And Lord, as sheep, the reason we need a shepherd is we are needy, needy, needy people. And I know that we carry burdens, you know, some that are visible, some that are invisible, some that we share, some that we don't share, but we carry burdens. And so, Lord, since you already know, you've told us to pray without ceasing. And Jesus taught us that we are to pray and never lose heart. Don't grow weary. And so, Lord, I know there's things on our heart this morning, and so we want to lift those up to the Lord. Spend a few moments. Father, we thank you for our Lord and for you, and that you know us so well. You know, we can run, but we can't hide. And I don't know why it is we run and we keep trying to run when we know we can't hide. And whatever burdens we're carrying this morning, may we remember the words of Jesus. Matthew 11, 20 and 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, yet I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and laden bear in. Just read it. Thought to look the same. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, Lord, that's my prayer. Oh, God, help me to do that. Help me to continue to remember to come to you for this blessed thing. Because that's the only place we truly find rest for our souls, is in Jesus. So help us just remember that, Lord, as we continue in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about that as we sing this song. You may be standing. That's nice. I'm so used to, you may be seated. You may stand, or please stand. Thank you. place to find rest is in you. So we pray that we will heed that and we will ever cling to you. Now, as we come back to your word, this great passage of scripture that's familiar to all of us, the 23rd Psalm, enlighten our hearts, instruct our hearts, encourage our hearts, and uplift our hearts for your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Find Psalm 23. Probably one of the most familiar passages of scripture, the 23rd Psalm. And I wonder if we really can get a grasp on it. We can try. I think some of us have known the 23rd Psalm for a long time. I know I have. And in fact, I've taught through the 23rd Psalm numerous times. And it is always different. And the reason it's always different, because the Word of God is active, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And hopefully, as you study the Word of God, you are growing, right? And as we grow, we learn new things. As you look at the 23rd Psalm, you realize how important it is that we have a good shepherd. A good shepherd. Philip Keller wrote a great little book, and I've mentioned this before. It's still for sale. I found it on Amazon. It's called The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. He was a literal shepherd. So he wrote this book as a shepherd looking at this psalm. And he has some fascinating things to say. For number one, sheep do not just care for themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock endless attention and meticulous care. Sheep do not just care for themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock endless attention and meticulous care. Now keep that in mind when you remember God calls us sheep. Hayden Robinson said, sheep are defenseless, dependent, and stupid. His words. And I think, well, duh, if the shoe fits, right? Sheep are defenseless, dependent, and stupid. Robinson goes on to say, some say the only reason God ever bothered to create sheep at all was to have an illustration of what Christians are like. Not very complimentary, but true. Now, keeping that in mind, Keller goes on to say, the lot in life of any particular sheep depends on the type of man who owns it. I mean, that makes sense. If we are truly defenseless, dependent, and stupid, and need endless care, meticulous care, well, how our shepherd is how we are going to be. Now, if you want to find Ezekiel, I guess I had you go to Psalms, but Ezekiel's a little bit tougher one. It's right by Jeremiah. Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel 34, we have a description of God, and this is God's viewpoint on the kings, the prophets, and the priests of Israel. So this is God's viewpoint on how are the leaders of my chosen people doing. And he compares them to shepherds, because they were. They were supposed to care for the people. But listen to this. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought the lost, but with force and severity you have dominated them. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. You guys, to put it bluntly, are lousy shepherds. In fact, what he's going to say is, I'm going to take my sheep away from you because they are my people, and you are crummy shepherds. Now keep a finger in Ezekiel and go to John. So we're going to be going back and forth for just a moment. John chapter 10. All right, so here's bad shepherds in Ezekiel 34. And we got another description of a bad shepherd from the mouth of Jesus in John chapter 10. He says in verse 12, John 10, 12, he who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, some shepherd, some helper, and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them, and we know what wolves do to sheep. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. Lousy shepherd. He's just in it for the money, and when danger arises, he's gone. The shepherds of Israel were in it basically for the money, for the goods. They ate the fat of the sheep. They fleeced the sheep, literally, and they were lousy shepherds. Compare that to John chapter 10, verse 11. Where Jesus says, on the other hand, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That word good is just an amazing word. As I looked it up, it's kalos in the Greek, and it's here somewhere. It's kalos in the Greek, and it had this great description. So let me read you a rather lengthy description, but this is what good means. And just think about that, because Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And just watch how this defines our Lord Jesus. Kalos is an outward sign of the inward good. It's noble. It's honorable. Honorable character. It's worthy, it's noble, it's beautiful, it's handsome, it's excellent, it's eminent, it's choice, it's surpassing, it's precious, it's useful, it's suitable, it's commendable, it's admirable. That's our shepherd. And if you go on to read in Ezekiel 34, you'll find that God is going to take over his nation Israel, certainly when he comes back to set up his millennial kingdom. He's going to do that, and he's going to care for them. But I think the contrast is great, and when you see how bad their shepherds were and how good Jesus is as our good shepherd. You say, well, how good is he? The 23rd Psalm. Now go to the 23rd Psalm. I guess you figured we'd get there sooner or later. So now we go to the 23rd Psalm, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, first of all, it's a Psalm of David. And I would be with those that believe he wrote this at the end of his life or towards the end of his life. He's reflecting back on his life. Remember, David was a shepherd. When Samuel went to look for the next king of Israel, he went to Jesse, and all the boys came, and God said, no, no, no. And finally Samuel says, you got anybody else? And remember what Jesse said? Hey, there's the runt, but he's out shepherding the sheep. And Samuel says, go and get him. And of course, the Lord says, that's my man. So David knew from experience, because he was a shepherd, and he's thinking back on how God had cared for him as he cared for the sheep. So he writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul, and he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I think we've all heard that. We all know that. We may all embrace that. You've studied it before. You've heard about it before. It's interesting that on Sunday morning, because I get up real early, and sitting there in the dark eating my breakfast sandwich, I was thinking, okay, the Lord's a shepherd. Lord, why is this here, and what do you want us to get out of this? So let me give you a few things, and if you hear nothing else, when you think of the Lord as your shepherd, this is what God wants you to do with that information. Number one is Psalm 29. So just go a page or two to your right. Psalm 29, 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name and worship the Lord in holy array. Why? Because he is my shepherd. And I just read what he does for me. So as you think about that, the deeper you think about it, the more glory you should go to give to God. He's got glory, so what it means is the more you recognize that glory and you say, I acknowledge that, Lord, and I just want you to know how thankful I am that you are my good shepherd. And then, as we think about that and how good God is as our good shepherd, then what we need to do is make sure that we humble ourselves under the shepherd. Because all we like sheep, Isaiah 53, go astray. We each turn each one to his own way. You may have done that already this morning. I mean, you may have came in and Jesus was your shepherd, and now you're thinking about, well, who's playing today? And what are the odds? And I know Doug's from Oregon, and that family's a big Duck fans. I told Mary, I feel so sorry for Portland. What was it, 87 to 7? It's like, and she said we had a third string quarterback in. I said, you sure the guys played backwards or something? I mean, give these poor guys a break. So, you know, we wander off, but we got to come back. And especially in times in our life where God's dealing with us as a shepherd, as we'll see, we may not like it. But as we give God the glory for being our shepherd, we need to, Peter says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. I think, I need a shepherd, and he's the good shepherd, so why am I rebelling? But we do. Isn't that amazing? We do. He says, we're on the freeway. There's our destination. Stay on it. We see the off-ramp, and we see all these advertising. Oh, that looks good. He says, don't even think about it. We swerve against 15 lanes of highway because we want to do our thing. And then we find, once we get there, you know what? He was right. So when are we going to learn? So as you think about the Lord as your shepherd, give him glory and just bow down before him and say, Lord, whatever you are doing in my life, I will do it. And since I'm running late already, Philippians 2, 12 through 14 says, because God is at work in you, do all things without grumbling and disputing. So as God is working, maybe in mysterious ways, we'll see a few this morning, don't grumble and complain. Say, you know, God's at work. He is my shepherd, and he's going to do all of this for me, so I need to humbly bow before him and realize he's at work. And you know what? God is perfect. Romans 12:2, why am I being conformed to this world? Because I'm an idiot. No offense, but it's true. You see, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good, perfect, and acceptable. Who am I to argue with my shepherd when he's the eternal God? He's good, perfect, and he knows the beginning from the end, and I'm doing the best I can, but I'm not that good. So we want to come and lay our lives at his feet. So now back to the 23rd Psalm. I just want to keep that in focus because it's easy to get all in tangled with all the ins and outs and this and that and forget, well, what's the main point? This is you, God, and this is to drive me to your throne to worship you, drive me to your throne to humbly submit to your leading and working in my life. That's the point. Okay, so we saw, first of all, the relationship of our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah God is my shepherd. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he is your shepherd. Realizing he's not everybody's shepherd. Remember in John 10, he told the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, you're not listening to me because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. So not everybody's his sheep, but if you are, he's your shepherd. So that's the glorious relationship. And then the rest of the psalm really is the results of that relationship. And we looked at the first one last time, contentment. Contentment. I shall not want. Remember, we noted that all the verbs in here, except for anoint my head, are imperfect verbs. Which means it's a Hebrew verb that means it's an open-ended action that keeps on going. It's not done. So really what David is saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want, I'll never want, I am not wanting. And here we go. Number two result is refreshment. Refreshment. This is why I'm not wanting. God refreshes me. I love refreshment and refreshments. I love the stuff we got back. Those are refreshments. You gotta love it. You gotta like laying down. I remember once I wasn't feeling well, and I laid down in bed, and I pulled up that top cover, whatever that top cover is, and oh, it was just like, oh. Or you know, if you take an ibuprofen or a medicine, and all of a sudden the pain starts to go away, and you go, oh, you're refreshed. Love refreshment. And the shepherd knows the sheep need a lot of refreshment. So the next result is verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Or he is making me all the time lie down in green pastures. And he is all the time leading me beside quiet waters, or literally waters of rest. And he is all the time restoring or rejuvenating, reviving my soul, or could be translated my life. My shepherd looks at the sheep. He knows they get all beat up as they're out there in the wilderness. They get thorn marks on their head. Sheep are fighters. They end fight. And so I need refreshment all the time. And notice what he does. He gives me rest. I think verse 2 is all about rest. What is it? It's rest. You know, Robinson noted that sometimes sheep will not go in there and rest on their own. So he says, often a shepherd has to move into the midst of the sheep and grab one by force to make it lie down and rest. You know, I like resting. I can watch grass grow. Not everybody's that way. I know people with type A personalities that they could never take a cruise, for example. I have a friend that way because he couldn't sit still for that long. So he could walk around the ship. No, I get bored. You know, and so, but it's hard for some people to rest. And so the shepherd, when he knows we need rest, has to go in and grab you and lie and make you lie down in green pastures. It's talking about rest because sheep don't eat laying down. So he makes you lay down in green pastures, meaning, you know, this is like one of those fancy mattresses that adjust your back with all them, whatever it is, or it's just like, he makes you lie down in green pastures, and he leads me besides quiet waters or waters of rest. Sheep are very timid, and they will not drink from a fast-moving stream. You know, I was thinking about this last night, that you can imagine, how much rest would you get if you tried to pitch your tent right next to Niagara Falls? I mean, right? People would say, are you kidding? What? Now, I do like going to the ocean and camping close to the beach, and you can listen to the roll of the waves, and that's not quite like Niagara Falls. Or if you can't sleep, you can download a rippling stream You can download Rain, because I actually have a channel that just because it's soothing. And he leads me besides quiet waters, not only for me to drink, but for me just to rest. Then I thought, okay, I got it. Green pastures, quiet stream. How does God do that? Because you notice it says, he makes me lie down. He continually is making me lie down. How does he do that? Well, as Haddon Robinson said, in the Old Testament, by force. Who can tell me how, what part of the Old Testament was God forcing them to rest? Anybody? Part of the law. The Sabbath. He says, read Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20. He gave the Jews the Sabbath as a sign for them in between him where they had to rest on the Sabbath day. If they did any work at all on the Sabbath day, the penalty was execution. So it was severe. So he's saying, I'm going to make of all things that symbolized, and it's kind of a big subject, part of it was just rest. Just rest. But God also, but that was the Old Testament. You know, we're in the New Testament. We're not under that part, as it were, anymore. But I think God still says, come on, dummy. I mean, I'm trying to tell you something. You need rest. But I think another way he makes us rest is through circumstances. Sometimes, so find Psalm 31. Sometimes in life, things happen. Things happen beyond my control. It's working like crazy, and all of a sudden I get laid off. It's not my fault. It's just business dried up, and I got laid off. So now I got time to rest. Or let's suppose you're falsely accused of something and you end up in jail. What are you going to do? Rest. You get a better lawyer, I guess, but God has ways through circumstances that are beyond control. Just say, I want to give you a break here. It's just rest. Knowing me, I would try to figure it out and how to get out of it, so he would have to say, no, just trust me and just let it go. Charlene was quoting for me on Friday, just cease striving to know that I'm God. I mean, that's really true. Just let me do my work and just rest. Take advantage of this break to rest. In Psalm 31, verse 15, David, again, as he's talking about his life and all the things going on in his life, this is a great verse. I mean, there's a Hebrew nuance here that when I saw that, I thought, oh my goodness, my times, my life. In the Hebrew is when that word times is in the plural, which it is, it denotes circumstances, courses of time, occurrences, and events. So what he is saying is all of the circumstances and events of my life, God is providentially governing the universe and you. Now I know, how does that fit with my responsibility and my accountability, the choices I've got to make? That's a great mystery, because we are accountable for all of that. But beyond all that, David says, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from them, from my enemies and from those who persecute. So what we got to realize is that there are times God's going to bring things into our life and he's saying, okay, rest. Rest, trust me. James 1, we may actually go to James, I guess I just let the cat out of the bag. But in James 1, remember, verse 2, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Not if, but when. You say, are you kidding? No, because what are they working? Patience and development in you. Guess who's doing that? Your shepherd. And part of those may be just rest. I mean, if you got a headache or if you got a cold or you got whatever, and every time I say that, and I said that Friday, it doesn't mean every sickness God is trying to tell you to rest. Some sickness is just because we live in a cursed world, all right? But sometimes, I remember when I had the stomach flu, I thought, well, this is, okay, rest, because that's all I could do. Plus, it's a great way to lose weight. My suit never fit better, because I had to go to a funeral after that. Anyway, beside the point. But just rest. So he does that. And then I love this one. One of the ways he makes us rest is by
refocusing our attention on Him, because we realize I'm falling apart, I need rest, and I can't do it. I mean, I'm unraveling here because I got so much anxiety, I got so much stress, I got so much disappointment, etc. I got just life, you know, and so it's meant to say, Shepherd, I need you. One of the best quotes in Keller's book is found on page 37. Listen to this. And I think this is as far as we'll get. So we'll do restoration next week. Keller on page 37 says, in the course of time, I came to realize that nothing, hang on to that word, in the course of time, in a shepherding experience, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, but that's just awesome. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner, protector, put them at ease as nothing else could do. I think the same thing is true for us. One of the ways I think He makes us lie down in green pastures, makes us, leads us beside quiet waters, is that when we're unraveling, He kind of drags our attention back to Him. And He says, look at me. And you know what? As you look at Him, as I look at Him, no matter what the problem, and we've had some sickness in our family, and I've spent my time, a lot of time with one of our members for years. I remember the first time she went to the hospital, I sat there because they said, you want to go? And I says, well, what can I do? I'll stay here and pray. And I remember on the back deck saying, God, this is beyond me. Please be merciful and gracious. And I did the same thing last week. And they do that whole thing all the time because you realize, I can't do this. I'm not at rest. But you know, when you look at Him, it's amazing how you realize, well, who is He? Well, He's the eternal God. He loves our loved one. He loves me. He loves people more than I do. He knows what He's doing, and He never makes a mistake. And all of this is working to an end that will glorify Him and be the best for me anyway. So I look to Him and I say, oh my goodness, Lord, thank you. Thank you. For example, in you're figuring this out, one of my favorites also is Psalm 143. So go to Psalm 143. Because, you know, many times in my life, I've been in Psalm 143. And I find it comforting all the time. It's a Psalm of David. This is a Psalm when he was in trouble. Listen to the trouble that he's in. Verse 3. Psalm 143:3. See if you have felt this way, or have felt this way, or as the blues man Buddy Guy says, if you don't have the blues, just keep living, you'll get them. So if you don't feel this way now, just hang on, because there probably will somewhere in your life. He says, for Psalm 143:3, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I'm in need of rest. I need to be forced to lay down in green pastures. And maybe this is doing it. And I think it's one of the way God does. Is he lets us get to this place where we feel this way, crushed down to the ground and our spirit overwhelmed, so that eventually we get smart and we look to the shepherd. Because verse 5, he says, when I'm in that condition, how do I find rest? I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all thy doings, and I muse on the work of thy hands. I remember my shepherd. And I just look up, like Keller says, got all this anxiety, all this stress, and I say, there he is. He said, I would never leave nor forsake you. He said, I am your great high priest. He said, just come to me and ask for help, and I'll give it to you. He said, Matthew 6, I'll provide for you as I provide for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Look it, you're my child. I'll provide for you. Will you try? I know this is a rough part, but I know what I'm doing. You need this. And we'll get through this together. So David looks to his shepherd as he remembers, and what does he say to verse 6? You know what? I love verse 6. He doesn't say, and so I grumbled and complained and I stayed in my depression. No, he says, when I have a fresh look at my shepherd, I stretch out my hands to thee, and my soul longs for thee as a parched land. And I say, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide thy face from me, lest I go down, be like those that go down to the pit. What he says is, God, revive me. Show me where the waters are and just revive me. And I think part of that happens as we get into his word. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had noted that he believed that the green pastures represented the word of God, the still waters was the Holy Spirit. I think he's right. Because that's what happens, is when God forces you into his word, you go, it takes your focus off of the issue and back to your shepherd. And when that happens, you have rest. Otherwise, you're in turmoil. We do sing a song. I thought of doing it this week, but we did it not too long ago. But I love this verse. Casting crowns just beheld. They say, if your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and I always will. Not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and the answer seems so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. I mean, we have our part to do, but it's like, really, you got to let me do this. Just let me work. Just fall down, worship me, surrender to me. And, you know, and that just changes everything. Your world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. I think that's primarily how God makes us lie down in green pastures. He reminds us of who he is. We go to his word. You can go to Psalm 119. This will be an interesting, fun project for you. See how many times it says, revive me, revive me, revive me. You know, in your word. Because of your, why? Because I remember who you are and who's in control. You know, that's why I don't watch the news. I check headlines, I listen to one briefing, so I have some idea of what's going on. But if you get involved in that, it'll drive you nuts because it's so frustrating. I just say, God, cease striving to know that I am God, the Psalms, because I will be exalted. I know, as Karen says, we've read the end of the book and we know we win. And in the meantime, just help me through this. Just help me through this. So as the song says, if your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I do, and I always will. It's where remembering what Jesus did for us is so very, very important. Because life is busy. I mean, I get distracted. I checked scores yesterday. SC did well, too, but they played somebody else I felt sorry for. It wasn't quite 87, but it was 60-something. And we tend to get off, and then you realize, look, for me to have the Lord as my shepherd and to have this relationship with Jehovah God as the universe and Jesus as the shepherd, he had to do something because as a sheep, I've gone astray. And Isaiah says, my sins have made a separation between me and God. So while I'm in my sin, he's not my shepherd. Satan really is. But Jesus loved us enough, God loved us enough that he sent him to come die on a cross and to save us from our sins so that we could be his sheep and he could be our shepherd. That's why I love what Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. It's amazing. God knows you by name. I mean, read Psalm 139. He knows you better than you know yourself. So on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus told his disciples in 1 Corinthians 11, there's something, guys, I don't want you ever to forget. Remember, they were celebrating a Passover meal, which was designed to remember the deliverance from Egypt. And there are those that say that the last legitimate Passover was the one Jesus had with his disciples, and I tend to think that as well. And now what he's saying, now, instead of remembering that, here's what I want you to remember. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He took bread and broke it. And when he had given thanks, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So now, instead of remembering Egypt, I want you to remember the cross. I want you to remember whose body was on that cross. Should have been yours. But I went for you because I love you. That's what we don't ever want to forget, no matter what trial or difficulty we're going in through life, is realize Jesus loved me enough to put his body in. You know, and if you've seen movies or whatever, it's just horrific beyond description. And even as I watch some of those scenes, I realize, and that doesn't even come close. Realize they were hung naked on a cross to expose them, to humiliate them, to all of that, and they were just so beat up. And he did that for me. The same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this cup, and rather eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's what we're doing. We're reminding ourselves of how we became his sheep and how he became our shepherd. And then he says, therefore, whoever eats bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. What Paul is saying is, look, even as his sheep, as you partake of these elements, you're to say, how am I doing in following my shepherd? But we'll see next week with the restoration, part of that may be backsliding. Have I backslid? If I have, oh, I'm holding this. Jesus did this, so I could be free from that, and I am free from that when I follow my shepherd. So this is the time for God to work on you, and you just say, you know, no excuses. God never wants an explanation, never wants a rationalization, never wants the devil made me do it, which is not true, or somebody else. He just says, like David, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. That's all he wants. And then he'll forgive. And he'll restore. And then we go on. Remember, as we come to this, you're a good shepherd. I mean, can't you just see it everywhere now? And remember that God has not destined us for wrath, but for the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Well, Lord, I am so thankful that that's the kind of shepherd you are to me. That we started this relationship before the foundation of the world when I wasn't even around. But you knew me then. And then through my life, you know, you got a hold of me and we're working on these things. And you do all of this because you love me, you have a purpose. And Jesus died so that I could live with him forever. He wants me. Oh my goodness, what a thought. So, and he wants you. He wants you. And so let's, like I said, let's glorify God. Let's ascribe glory to God for that. And let's fall down before him and say, Lord, forgive me for my waywardness and help me be a better sheep. Help me be a better sheep. So this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that you know that's standing before you and God right now, and we'll talk about that next week with Dear David. You're free. We offer, you know, partake with us. Because what you're saying, it's a personal testimony. You're saying, oh my goodness, I have claimed the body of Christ. I have claimed the blood of Christ. I have appropriated that. I'm living to the best of my ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow my shepherd. And this is the testimony that the Lord is my shepherd and I'm his sheep. And so, Lord, work in each heart. And if there's someone here who has said, you know, I've never done that, do it. You say, you don't have to be fancy. God knows your heart. Say, I surrender, Lord. Here I am. Be my shepherd. Be my shepherd. And for those of us that are his sheep, Lord, help me be a better sheep and follow you more fully. Think about that, and then we'll partake of the communion service together.
Cheers.
Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take ye all of this, all of you, and eat of this. This is for you to remember my body, which is placed on a cross for you." Let's do that. Then he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is to symbolize my blood shed for the remission of sin. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood that, as Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." And all of the Old Testament points to this. They look forward, we look back. While we shall we partake together of the blood that washed our sins away, so that he can be our shepherd and we can live with him forever. Let's partake together. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became God, poured out to death. You want, and you say, "Just follow me." Help us do that, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.